right, praise God. God is good. We are in this series where we examine what it looks like to say yes to Jesus and for him to come into our lives and just blow the doors wide open, right? I mean, that's exactly what he does. I mean, he steps into our lives and everything changes, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Let me ask you this question this morning. Is there a dream that he's placed on your heart to do something just incredibly big for him, for his glory? What is that dream? What does it look like? Is it a ministry? Maybe it's a ministry to help feed people or clothe people. What does it look like? Maybe it's to see your family restored again. You know, there's so much brokenness here in North Kitsap, Paulsbo, Suquamish, Port Gamble, Kingston. I think the list can go on and on and on. But you know, I'm believing today that Jesus is going to change things for you. What do you think? Yeah. I've got to have that kind of faith and that kind of belief that we're gathering here for a reason. And you know what? God is going to do something miraculous. Can we have that expectancy this morning? Yeah, let's do that. Amen? You know, it's all about not letting our past define us. But it's about letting go of all of that stuff and allowing God to shape and mold our future. You know, the cool thing about God, and we talked about this last week, is that he's outside of time. He gets to see all of time all at once. And you know where he's seeing you right now? Sitting right next to him. Can you imagine that? You know, so when we talk about time and when we talk about the past that we think is defining us, look at the viewpoint from where God is seeing you right now. And look at how he sees you, full of love and grace and mercy, full of potential, full of something awesome that he wants to do through you. Maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, but guess what? There is something that God wants to do through you. Amen? Last week, we looked at allowing God to place a vision in your heart. And we looked at God's timing. He brings us opportunities. And then there's this tension that's always just kind of bothering us, like, you know, between God's timing and our timing and the vision. What are we supposed to do during this whole time? Are we supposed to just sit there and do nothing? Or am I supposed to start picking up tools? What am I supposed to do? There's that tension. And we find out that we are just to actively wait in faith and pray before we plan. To seek God, to seek his face. And as we do, he just begins to unpack things and open up doors. Amen? So while we go through this story, the story of Nehemiah, I want to show you some new things. We're going to talk about how he does certain things and how these obstacles that we face as we go on this journey of completing the task, completing the mission, and seeing that the vision is finished, that there's obstacles that come in and how we can turn those obstacles into opportunities. And then what is our role throughout all of this? You see, in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, we see that God birthed in Nehemiah this vision of a restored Jerusalem. Because we find out that Jerusalem was destroyed. The walls had crumbled. And when he got news of this, his heart was broken. And he wept. And through that major obstacle, he can feel that he was just powerless to do anything about it. You ever felt powerless? Imagine that kind of feeling. You see, God showed him the what. The what was a destroyed Jerusalem. You see, the what always precedes the how. You will know what to do long before knowing how God intends to bring it about. Wouldn't it be cool if we just knew it all right then and there? We would be God then, wouldn't we? And we're not. So just thank him for that. Here's what I want us to all see today. I want us to all see that the God of what is also the God of how. The God of what is also the God of how. We see that in the next chapter of Nehemiah, chapter 2, and verse 11. The God of what, as Nehemiah is searching through the rubble of a destroyed Jerusalem, that the God of how comes in when Nehemiah is proclaiming in verse 20 that the God of heaven will help us succeed. You see, God put on Nehemiah's heart to rebuild, but without God's help, Nehemiah acknowledges that they won't succeed. See, the God of what is the God of how. Amen. You see, Nehemiah is given the what, but it seems impossible. How am I going to rebuild Jerusalem? How is that even possible? It seems impossible in that now and in that natural train of thought. And so we have to think about Nehemiah's his story, his background. He was a cupbearer, highly esteemed, and his job was to work for the king, directly for the king, King Artaxerxes. And see, there was this thing where other kingdoms would love to poison kings, and they would do that through the food and all that stuff. And so Nehemiah's job was to make sure that the king's wine wasn't poisoned. How many would love to have that job? Yeah, Sasha. You'll jump into anything. I love it. Praise God. But that was his job. He was expendable, though. How many cupbearers came before Nehemiah? I can only imagine. They were all expendable. Maybe you felt that way, that your life was expendable, that you were useless, that there was nothing good can come out of your life, that you were just going through the motions of everyday life and just kind of experiencing everything, and you're going, what am I even here for? Well, you know what? God is awesome. I got to say that because I felt that way before many times. What am I even here for? And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has me here. I'm not talking about what am I here for at Gateway, but that God has a place for me, and he has a plan and a purpose. And as I'm going through all of that, I see day by day that, oh yeah, I'm here for a reason. You ever been through something and you're like, what in the world did I just go through that for? That was the worst, most horrible time in my life. You ever been through that? And you're going, man, I'd never want to go through that again. And then all of a sudden you get a friend and they come to you and you're like, I need to talk to you, man. They're like, yeah, what's up? Oh, I'm going through something right now. And they begin to explain it to you. And all of a sudden, your mind is just lighting up because you've been through the exact same thing. And that whole reason why you went through it, or the reason why you were placed where you were placed, was so that you can encourage your brother and sister who's going through the same exact thing. Amen? I just know that God is good. And in those times when we're feeling useless, please look up to heaven. Please get your mind off the ground. Please set your mind on heavenly things. That's what God wants us to do. Stop looking around yourself, but look to him. Amen? God in his wisdom, when he's showing Nehemiah the what, he also gives him a vision to see the opportunities. And so I want you to see also the opportunities that are flowing around you. Now I know what you're thinking. How can those opportunities become a reality? And I know that maybe some of you right now are thinking about a ministry. You're thinking about something to help other people with. How can that opportunity become a reality? Well, have you ever experienced that in your life where that you see the what, but you don't know how you can get there? Here you are, you can see it, but how do I get there? Well, God gives us guidance. Amen? That's always cool. Until you look at how big the dream, that dream really is. I want you to look around here in this auditorium right now. I want you to look at all the people that are next to you, these seats, the sound system, this TV, all of this stuff, the rock, all of that. This wasn't here before. Somebody had to put it together. Somebody had to have a vision to put it together. And I guarantee you, when they receive that vision for this property, the school, all of that's going on right now, they ask God, how? How am I going to do this, Lord? But you know what? There was a group of faithful people that sought God's face. They came together. They knew the what, but how? How was all of this going to come together? Amazingly, God did some awesome things, opening up doors that were just miraculous. And as they saw the what just unfold, they knew how God was going to do it. And now here we are in this beautiful auditorium with an awesome campus. Maybe Operation Day of Hope was a what also. Somehow God put it on somebody's heart to create a day where the whole community can be served with free services. How are we going to do that, Lord? And as we sought God's face through that, through faith, he made it happen. He showed us how. You see, he does it that way. That's how he works. He gives us guidance and he begins to open up the resources. So that immediate question that we ask, how am I supposed to do this? I think it's the wrong question that we ask. You see, God is asking us to make things happen. Unfortunately, we turn to the wrong people in those moments. We turn to ourselves. We turn to the person next to us. We turn to the person whom we think would know how to put this all together instead of turning to God. When God shows us an invitation or an opportunity or vision, he is giving us inspiration to motivate us through that obstacle. You see, God often unwraps the how one step at a time. This is mainly so we don't blow it. Yeah, I've blown it many times. I have failed over and over and over again. But God shows us a step one at a time. Now, I'm not an engineer. I'm an artist. So I'm far from that, you know, that logical, trained thought, how things get put together and all of that. But stairs, I found out, are engineered using a series of risers. I bet you there's people in here going, yeah, hello. The riser is the part that takes us up, and the tread is the part that helps us move forward. So next, when you go to your stairs at home today, you're going to be like, tread, riser, watch. When God shows us the next step, it serves like the riser, taking us up closer to the realization of the vision. When we respond in obedience, it serves to move us forward like the tread. You see, God moves us to the realization of that vision. How many of you know this verse, Psalm 119? Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I love that verse. You love that verse? The thing about that verse is when I think about it, I think about those big old camping LED lights, you know? When you turn that thing on, it's like a million candle power, and you could see everything. Why? Because you don't want a bear to come and attack you, right? So when I think about that verse, that's what I'm thinking of. Like, God, I want to see everything, right? But that's not what we're talking about here. That lamp was just this little oil lamp with a little candle and a wick. It was only good enough to show us the next few steps. Now, isn't that how God works? He wants us just to show us enough, just the next few steps, so that we could walk out in faith, and then we stop. And then he shows us the next few steps. And when we move, he continues to show us more and more and more. And so therefore, we're trusting and relying on him, and trusting God to show us the next step. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. It played out in his life as God showed him the opportunities that were before him. I was talking to a gentleman in the last gathering, and he was telling me a story about how he went elk hunting out on the Dosie Wallops, and how this verse applied to that situation. And we're chasing all these elk. They find two elk, they get them. By the time that they're done skinning them and all of that stuff, it's completely dark. They're way up in the mountains, 12 miles or so. Guess what they forgot? Yeah, no flashlight whatsoever. And so this brother, he prayed this verse. God, would you be my light? Direct my feet, my path. He prayed it out. And they made it all the way back to the parking lot in the middle of the night. Now, they had to go back the next day to go get the rest of the meat. And they were astonished because on their way back, they found that to get back to where they were all of these logs and rocks and crevices and all of this stuff. And they were blown away thinking, how did we even get through all of that? Amazingly, God protected them throughout the whole evening as they made their way back. The same thing with Nehemiah. As he trusts God, God shows him step by step, this is how I'm going to accomplish this through you. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, and I love his proclamation. May the king live forever. By the way, why should my face not look so sad? When the city where my fathers are buried it lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. You see, in spite of his fear, Nehemiah puts his faith in God, and he steps out in obedience. And it was there that God opens up the next step. And the how was underway. Remember that God has a how for every situation. In that everything we do, we must trust him and follow him. You see, the how can come independently from our own planning, but not independent from our faithfulness. There's good ideas and there's God ideas. I know we all have good ideas. But I thought years ago when I started fishing that I had an awesome idea. How many of you'd love to go fishing? How many of you have been fishing out at Nia Bay in the Straits? Yes. Well, guess what? Me and my friends, we decided we're going to go out coho fishing out in the Straits. And we thought it was going to be an awesome time. We'd never had been there before, let alone fishing for coho out in the salt water. This was very new to all of us. My friend had just bought a brand new boat, so we thought, you know what? Let's go take this thing and for a test, and let's go catch some fish, right? We take the long drive up to Nia Bay. We get there. About 9, 9:30, I know some of you are going, you're late already, and you're right. And as we pull up, boats are coming in, and we're excited because these boats, they've got fish in them, and people are all smiles, and they're giggling, and they're happy and taking photos. And they're looking at us like, hey, you know, you guys are a little late. Like, yeah, but, you know, we didn't care because we were so excited. So we get out, and the water was just as soft as a baby's blanket, right? And we're traveling out past the bay, and we did hook into a coho, but we lost it, and that's okay. Let's continue to travel out more towards the center of the strait. There's got to be more fish out there. And so we're going out, and the waves, all of a sudden, get bigger and bigger and bigger. You see, the problem was, my friend's brand new boat was an open bow Bayliner. You know, one of those boats you see out on the lake where, you know, you're just supposed to lounge on. We thought it was a good idea to take that boat out fishing. Now, an open bow means that it's open and water could come in. Thankfully, water did not come in. We were praying the whole way back. We knew that there was something wrong when the Coast Guard passed us about 3 or 4 times making sure we were okay. You see, we thought it was a great idea, but now I know I'm never doing that again unless it's in a 30-footer. Who's got a 30-footer, by the way? Anybody? You love to go fishing? Can I come? Praise God. Good ideas versus God ideas. We all have them, but do they stack up against God's ideas? You see, we do our part when we do what we can, and then we have to understand who we really need to rely on. We really have to understand who's in complete control, who's in the lead. Is it me? Is it Pastor Tom? Is it Pastor Mario? No. God is in lead. He's in control. This is all about Him. Amen? We can plan the best we can, but remember that divine vision necessitates divine intervention. You see, what God originates, God orchestrates. God speaks to those who listen. And I pray that today, that as He's speaking to us, that we're listening, that we would have ears to hear, maybe a heart to feel, maybe eyes to see what God wants to do in your life. He's always speaking. He's always giving us a vision to see the opportunities that are around us. It always amazes me how God is speaking, how He uses His word, how He uses people or circumstances to speak to me. How much more you? Amen? Sometimes it's that still small voice. Sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it's a vision. But I'll know that it's God because it's going to be confirmed by His word always. That God never contradicts Himself. That He will give us confirmation generally by 2 or 3 things or people. And that ultimately, we know that it's Him because it's redemptive in nature. God is in the business of redeeming people. God sees obstacles and plans opportunities whose outcomes are unique and they're specific and they're redemptive. When we hear from Him, do I just sit by and do nothing? No. We must act upon it. When God gives us a role in His plan, there's no other alternative. There really isn't. And there is that trap that we're all prone to fall in for, and that is self-reliance. We look to our own strength, our own wisdom. You know, maybe you have a PhD in plumbing. I don't know what it is. But you still need to rely on God each and every day. Amen? We can't rely on our own resources. It must be reliance upon God. Because we're always going to try to manufacture that how. God, how am I going to do this? You know what? I got a way. And it completely goes against God's way. I am reminded of what happened to Abraham and Sarah. How am I going to have a child? You're kidding me. What? I'm like 1,000 years old, man. I am not going to have a child. Oh, wait. I got an idea. You remember what happened there. And those consequences have repercussion after repercussion after repercussion. On into today. It's always a bad idea when we try to step in and do God's will. on our own strength. Because no matter how smart or how strong you are or good looking you are, you're going to fail. You're going to fall short of God's glory. We all do. That's what the Bible says. And I've experienced it over and over again. Proverbs 28:26 says, "Those who trust in their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe." Well, I don't know about you, but I love to be safe, and I've been in danger before, and I don't like it. You see, good ideas are limited by our potential and resources. And although God's ideas are never easy, nor are they possible without His involvement, God's ideas are limited only by God's potential and God's resources. And guess what? Jesus is limitless. Mark 10:27 says that Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." God's ideas will move us beyond our comfort zone and into faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. And you know what? God is not slow in keeping His promises. I love that verse in 2 Peter chapter 6 or chapter 3 verses 8 through 9. But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. That the Lord is really not being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So in closing, I've got to ask you, what vision has God placed in your heart? Again, is it a ministry? Is it for this community? Maybe it's for your own family. You want to see your family restored. You want to see your children saved. You want to see, maybe you're a son or a daughter and your parents are in the verge of a breakup, a divorce, and you're going, "God, I want my parents to be reunited." And you're going, "How?" I would kindly say to you today, submit to His timing, submit to His will. Be comforted in the fact that God already knew that this was going to happen, and God is going to make a way. For that ministry that we're talking about, you know, Operation Day of Hope wasn't just some kind of thing that was just, you know what, I think it'd be cool if we just kind of served the community. Tom didn't just come up with that. That was a God-breathed thing, a divine opportunity. And because it was a divine opportunity, again, God intervened and He made the way. He opened up the resources, and now we serve the community in such a greater way. God always has a how for every situation. What He's looking for is a who. By embracing that burden that maybe God has placed on your heart right now, you're the who. You're the person. Will you be that person? Will you trust God with the how? Step out in faith. Do the riser and the tread thing. Move forward in what He's called you to do. And be like Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 6 and verse 8. "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Let's pray. Father, in the name of your most holy and precious Son, Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity today to worship you, to adore you, to give you thanks and to give you praise. Lord, I know that there are people in here right now with something so heavy on their heart, a mission that you've given them, and they're going, how, God? Can you please open up a way? Can you please open up the doors and provide the resources? Be a lamp unto their feet, a light unto their path, that they can start to see and begin to take those steps, Lord, of obedience and faith. And as they do, Lord God, may your blessing of protection come upon them, Lord. Keep them safe from the schemes of the devil. Ultimately, God, I know that this is about your glory and your kingdom, Lord. And as we seek you through this, God, we know that you are going to be glorified through all that. May you bless us and keep us today. May you make your face shine upon us, Lord. Be gracious to us. Keep us safe from the devil, Lord, and give us peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.